Welcome back to 88.3 WG's After Further Review. Man, we've had some good segments and everything going on today. I'm Derek Lawson here with David, the Man of God Harris, on the phone lines. David, getting to this wild finishes as the Rockets had a wild finish against the Tulsa football team as the Rockets played at the Glass Bowl last week. If you didn't get to the game at the Glass Bowl, or at least listen to it here on 88.3 WT with Jet Schilling and Brandon, it was actually a really good game. Rockets were down, I believe, about 20 points, made a great comeback, and then Jamison Vest was able to hit the game-winning field goal and give the Rockets a 54-51 win, whereas the Rockets are now 3-0. But before we get into that, the wild finishes for UT in general, David, let's talk a little bit real quick. Rockets are 3-0, and now they go down to play the Hurricanes. Some people are saying that if the Rockets could possibly beat the Hurricanes, they could be in the top 25. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think if we are to beat Miami, and kind of just because I listen to so much sports radio, listening to the sports radio in Miami, they really don't talk about the Hurricanes much. Like, they quote that, you know, they're 13.5-point favorite, which a lot of people, including myself, I don't think it's fair. I think Toledo's, like, I think it's mostly because they're ranked so highly in the top 25, Miami is, that they got that rating just kind of the name appeal. It's like, oh, Miami is quote-unquote back. But I think that this will be a pretty intense game. I think both offenses are really talented. I think Toledo has the edge just in terms of quarterback play over Miami. But I think it'll be a good game. I think that obviously the Rockets will win, and I do think with the Rockets' victory, they will, if not get into the top 25, they'll be in those high receiving votes categories that we always see at the end of the list. But I think this is a good test for this Rockets team, who, coming off of a shootout against Tulsa, going up against a pretty formidable Miami defense with some young secondary play, but it's still a Miami defense. So you know they're going to have the speed to kind of not match Toledo, but it'll be speed versus strength. So it'll be a good matchup.
So what did you think of the game last week?
Oh, I thought it was a kind of a good encapsulation of what Toledo football is. Kind of, it's one, high scoring affair. Two, it's always some weird insurmountable lead. Just the way, and we knew going in, Tulsa had a great offense, and they proved it again against us in the Glass Bowl. But just the resiliency of the Rockets football team has always been our calling card. Kind of get down. It's not, oh, hang your head. It's always, hey, we can get back into this game. Let's get a score. Let's get a stop. Let's get this third down conversion. Let's keep this drive alive. We have this quarterback who's Logan Whiteside, who should win some kind of award at the end of the season, who we all agree is a pretty good quarterback with all these weapons around us. We have the ability to stay in this game, to play with anyone, compete with everyone offensively. It's just a matter of, hey, defense, just hold them long enough so that we can kind of get our offense mobilized. And I feel like last week against Tulsa, yes, we gave up, you know, all those points, but still, the defense held just long enough for us to get that victory. So yeah, that was a crazy game.
Yeah, and then, like I said, they're 3-0. I actually thought that they weren't going to pull it off. I was feeling kind of bad. Like, man, they might not be able to pull this off. But they did, so, which is good.
Yeah, and again, that resiliency. And just, that's mostly this kind of, we saw with Coach Campbell when he was here, and now we're seeing with Coach Handel. They're not going to let the players kind of feel defeated. It's always going to be, hey, we got this. Hey, we can do this. Hey, like, don't see the score line as the final thing. Don't look up at the scoreboard. Play your game. Play the quote-unquote Toledo way. And we can win this game, regardless of how much we're down. And, of course, you have to give credit to Tulsa because they're a great team. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, they may not win a conference championship. People may not look at them and say, oh, this is a great team. But they can put up points.
Right.
I mean, and it's not as though they are a bad offensive team, like, overall. But, yeah, that was a, if you like college football, you like high-scoring offense, last week at the Glass Bowl was definitely a sight to see.
Yeah, and I will admit this, too. What is the – you said that there's other games that you like. What are some memorable games that you remember?
All right, in just terms of wild finishes, of course, you have to start. And these are ones that I had in my tenure at UT, so 2008 kind of up to now. We have to start with the 13-10 in the Big House. Like, that's going to – we will never forget that, of course. Then we go into the Beckman era, the heartbreaking loss to FIU, which I still think we should have won that game. But, you know, T.Y. Hilton, apparently we could never stop that guy. And he just ran roughshod, just did whatever he wanted to do.
You're talking about the Pizza Bowl game, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a game. I was actually at that game up in Detroit. It was basically the – it's funny because you talk about T.Y. Hilton, but – they were basically comparing him and Eric Page, and yeah, T.Y. Hilton had a really good game. The problem with that game, and I remember it, was because we were running the ball so well that we went away from it. We started passing more, which a lot of fans to this day, I think, still don't understand that if we would have just kept running the ball, we would have just won the game. But there was a lot of head scratches from when Tim Beckman was coaching here. I will admit, though, he did revitalize the program. I'll give him that. And there's some things that he implemented that other sports programs here at the University of Toledo use, but it was always kind of a head scratcher with him. We'll keep going.
And I mean, since we're on Coach Beckman, we all remember that night game against Northern Illinois, mm-hmm. where I can still hear
the timeout.
And for the timeout, call the timeout. And it's like, dude, just call a timeout. Like, I can still hear the coaches beside us in the press, like, in the booth, like, call the timeout. Like, everyone in the stadium is like, and it's, like, I laugh thinking about it now, but just the anger that, well, one, I felt during, like, calling that game, like, next to you, and it's like, dude, like, just call timeout. Like, and then just, also, just the game, their entire game was just crazy, like, Tommy Lee Lewis, who was there for like 20 years, like, stop kicking to the guy, man. Like, all the return touchdowns that we've seen in the NIU Toledo rivalry. It's just, oh.
Weren't they ran back by, I think it was Tommy Lee Lewis, I believe.
Yeah, the first two. The opening kickoff, and then after we scored, he ran the second one back.
Yeah, and then there was also like, the Western Michigan game. It was back-to-back weeks where we put up a lot of 60-something point games.
Yeah, but just and I focus on that Northern Illinois game just because one, should have called a timeout, but two, that was really like more people remember him, I think, for that game and the kind of for the international game rather than, hey, this guy won the Military Bowl in 2011. Hey, this guy finished, you know, co-division champions with Northern Illinois.
Well, Beckman didn't win the Military Bowl, remember? Beckman left.
Yeah, Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell ended
and Campbell up. won that game and coached it.
Another game I kind of think of memorable was when me and you went down to Ohio State a couple of weeks ago, actually. Oh, yeah. It came up with on our memories where we took a lot of pictures there at Ohio Stadium. But the fact of the matter is the only reason why I think that's a memorable game is because we were actually there in Ohio State. If you remember the backstory, that was the year Tressel got dismissed. Boom Heron, Terrell Pryor were all suspended because of the tattoo gate, and also getting rid of their golden pans of beating Michigan, you know, actually for tattoos. And actually, Ohio State fans, I believe the week before, had played a MAC school, and I think it was Akron. And, come on, you know,
yeah.
It's Akron. And they pretty much
and they thought we were just a pushover.
Yeah, thought we were a pushover. And I never forget, we were in that elevator, and people were like, why are we playing another MAC school? This is a waste of time. This is why they don't respect our program. And I'm thinking to myself, they don't respect your program because this year you're not really that good with Bowserman, who couldn't hit an empty seat in Ohio Stadium, let alone a wide-open receiver. And they were quiet in that 100,000 seat stadium. They were really quiet on that final drive. And then once the fourth down incompleted pass from T.O., I forget, I think he was throwing it to Reedy maybe, or was he throwing it to Adonis Thomas? One of the two, I forget.
I think it was Thomas.
Yeah, Adonis Thomas, they were trying to throw it to. And I think it was like a short route. I think he was going to do the check down for him because they got all the other receivers. Then you just hear this relief from the Ohio State fans. Because remember, while that game was going on, it was on an ESPN alert saying, you know, you guys need to check out this game. And and it was funny, too. I mean, I remember when we left that the Ohio State student broadcast team, it came up to us and said, wow, you guys got a really good team. You guys would be really competitive in the MAC. But when we came up there before the game started in the first quarter, you know, they pretty much thought that they were going to get that victory. So that's one of the memorable moments for me. And even though it was a loss for the Rockets, I think that's one of the memorable moments. Keep going, David.
Yeah, and just kind of on that UT game, I posted on your reply, you know, the phantom calls, and, you know, Jacob said, you know, UT didn't get robbed. But, I mean, some of those penalties that were called in that day, like, if I'm just going to be honest and not, you know, Toledo bias, like, there are some questionable ones, especially on some of those punt returns where you get the holding.
Yeah,
a couple fourth down plays. It's like, there were some, you know, referees that were hoping for Ohio State to win.
Yeah, I think there was. Wasn't there a punt return we returned and they called a hold? Was it Eric
yeah,
Page?
Yeah, like, and Page. It was a good return, I think. It was a good return,
and they did call holding and brought it back, and that touchdown could have probably helped us prevail over Ohio State. But that's one of the memorable. The other thing I remember about the Ohio State game is that the game had been, you know, game had been over for 3 or 4 hours, and people were still kind of lingering around with a post-game tailgate. You know, even though it was, because I got to understand the bigger schools when Ohio State plays, you know, Penn State, Michigan State, I can, you know, understand all the partying and stuff, but you know, they played Toledo. A lot of them left a little bit early, but you know, I remember we were staying in Ohio Stadium and just taking pictures, and I was soaking it up and everything. And but when we went out in the parking lot, there was people still in the parking lot partying or doing their post game whatever. And then we got on out of there of Columbus. But that's probably one of my most memorable moments of going down there. And actually, it's a beautiful stadium. Press box is pretty interesting. You see a lot of former Buckeyes that are up there in the press box. Also, if you go up to the top of the stadium, you can see the rivers and stuff. It was a beautiful scene. Really packed, though. I mean, a lot of driving going around trying to find parking, though. But, you know, I really enjoyed that one. David, what's your next memory?
Yeah, even though it was more recent, but the Rockets going down to Little Rock and beating Arkansas, like, that was a good game, just kind of watching that. And again, everyone thought, oh, you know, who is this Toledo team going down to Arkansas? Arkansas ranked 18th at the time. But really going down there and just punching them in the gut.
Yeah.
And that's a memorable Rocket victory in recent memory. Because, you know, again, SEC power school, you don't expect, this MAC school. You're not going to.
Would I really call Arkansas an SEC power school, though?
Well, I mean,
it was great to beat an SEC, right? It was great to beat an SEC team, and remember, it wasn't at the Arkansas Razorback Stadium. They moved it to somewhere else. WXUC was trying to go to that game, but because it was at a different stadium, they couldn't really, you know, have the facilities to help us out and accommodate us. So that kind of stunk. But other than that, that was a good one. But I think that wasn't bad. But ones that I remember, the ones I attended, the one that I, that same year, was the Iowa State game.
Yeah, I've heard that was a good football game.
Yeah, and if you look back on the WXUT Sports Director page with the post game report, Paul Vanderstein from the House of Hate actually gets video of Michael Bryan celebrating after the game, because I believe the game ended with the Rockets getting a sack. And actually, believe it or not, I think this week or last week, actually this during this week, exactly 2 years ago, was when we beat Iowa State. Now, unfortunately, the bad part about this game, and you know, I don't know if I want to be a Debbie Downer or anything, is when, you know, our professor in communications, Don Reiber, actually passed away. That was the last game Don Reiber actually saw with the Rockets against Iowa State. Like I said, a great game. And then after the game, he passed away in his sleep. shortly after, you know, after getting home. So, you know, great victory for the Rockets, but, you know, a sad moment for the communication department here at the University of Toledo. So part of it, it's like a bittersweet thing for me, by the way, you know, obviously calling all the games and everything like that. But I always would see Don Reiber before the games would start and talk to him and everything like that. So great victory, but then it was kind of a downer when that happened.
Yeah, we have those memories and kind of just special memories. And Toledo's always kind of one of those, when we think of the memorable games, we think of the people that were there, the ones that we witnessed, and kind of, and from my limited interaction with Don, just kind of over, like when I was there, just always, you know, happy, friendly, ready to help, laughter, kind of the things that people continue to say about him.
Right. Are there any other ones for you, David?
No, those are the big ones. I mean, I wasn't at the Military Bowl when we won by a point against Air Force. Like, our recent bowl history, like, yeah, even this past year when we lost Appalachian State, like, it was a close game in general. But yeah, the ones that I remember, the ones that I went to, some of those crazy finishes, and, like, crazy in a good way.
I think another game that I guess maybe is memorable for me is when we finally got over the hump against NIU. That was actually a close game. Another close game last season was when Kareem Hunt scored the go-ahead touchdown against Bowling Green. Now, that was a game everyone thought that it was during homecoming. A packed house, actually, great weather against your rival. And Bowling Green had been struggling. And everyone in there thought that Toledo was gonna, this was going to be another automatic win. Obviously, Toledo has won the last 7 or 8 years against Bowling Green. Bowling Green really fought hard, and it took to the final possession for the Rockets late in the fourth quarter with a Kareem Hunt touchdown to seal the deal. I believe it also was the same way with the Northern Illinois Huskies, where Kareem Hunt had to score a fourth quarter touchdown to seal it. So those are more memorable games for me as well. It was Bowling Green last year because I was calling it. You know, I might be signing a little biased, but I actually thought, like I said, we were going to go in there and just rough up BG and they were going to look terrible. But obviously they surprised us. So that was a great game to call. And then also the Northern Illinois victory. I think that was a game that, you know, so much heartbreak, especially calling, you know, we mentioned earlier the game with the timeout and Chandler Harnish running that quarterback option and killing the Rockets. I mean, you know what I mean? Those were games that you remember, like, man, we keep losing to this team. And remember the year before that, you know, we were ranked, I think, the top 25. I believe we were undefeated.
Yeah, we lost to Northern Illinois.
We lost to Northern late in the game. Late in the game. Actually, we had a lead over Northern Illinois, and people were thinking that, okay, we're finally going to beat them. We're finally going to beat them at home. And then
gut punch.
Somehow they fell apart. We threw an interception. I remember trying to check down from Ely to Hunt, and they caught the pass. And then the bad part about it is, you know, you knew that, okay, now we got to get help to try to get the MAC West. And you did get help, and then you lost to Western Michigan, which I think propelled them the next season to go to, you know, the Cotton Bowl. But I just remember the Northern Illinois players after that game at the Glass Bowl saying six in a row and stuff like that. So when the next year came and we were over in Chicago, we didn't even know we were going to even do that game, me and Zach. But we did it on a whim. It was a Northern Illinois home game. The last few years, we tried to go to DeKalb to do it, but they were saying there wasn't any space. They were giving us the runaround. So I was actually last year, like, kind of nervous, thinking, okay, they're not gonna do anything for us. They're probably gonna say, no, we don't have any room, or give us some kind of BS excuse because we're college radio.
In radio.
But you know, actually, the SID, I forget her name. She's a nice lady. Ended up helping us out, and the Rockets went on to win, but it was a nail biter. I mean, at first it looked like the Rockets weren't going to win, then they were in it, then Northern Illinois came in. It was a good thing, but just to see the Rockets come away with the victory was so just, you know, bittersweet. You know, it was just like, finally. Unfortunately, yeah, though, you know, it didn't result in anything of getting the MAC West title, because then we had to go through Western Michigan. But just the fact to go out of town to Chicago for a day, go to a Major League Baseball park, which was White Sox, you know, park, Bank Rank Field. But the thing to see the Rockets finally get over that hump, especially for that senior class, because there was a lot of classes that were really disappointed not beating Northern Illinois. And it always just seemed like, even when Northern Illinois had maybe some suspect teams, it always seemed like we couldn't beat them. But finally, we finally beat them.
Yeah, and I remember kind of when I saw the score win final and kind of just seeing the relief, both from the coaches and a lot of the fans that were there. It's like, we finally did it. Like, all the for years we talked about, okay, Pennsylvania, Northern Illinois, this is the game that we need to win in order to get to Detroit. This is the game. This is the game. And unfortunately, yeah, we got past Northern Illinois, and then PJ Fleck just rose the boat on us. And it's like, come on, man.
So like, I mean,
we finally beat Northern Illinois, and then we have to run to Western Michigan.
Yeah. Like, this could be the year, though, David. This could be the year.
Keep your fingers crossed. I'm hopeful this year.
But Northern Illinois, though, like you said, they went in and beat Nebraska. They could be the thorn in the side. They could come back and, you know, beat us. And I'm knocking on wood here in the home studio, but they could, you know, beat us and prevent us from going again. And I mean, that'd be such a nightmare. But I think hopefully the Rockets do very well. I'm still concerned, though. Every game they've had bad starts, and you know, you hate to be the Debbie Downer, but it's we're up, you know, we have a 3-0 record, that's great, but there's just a lot of problems that I see. If they don't get this cleaned up the next couple of weeks, it could start to resurface in November, especially when you start having injuries to key guys.
Yeah, and really, not even just Northern Illinois, we talked about Western Michigan. They looked like they gave USC a run for the money, and USC had to squeeze out a late victory against them. And, I mean, people are talking about Sam Darnold as the Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick. I mean, Western Michigan, even though they lost PJ Fleck, they still have a lot of their offensive weapons still there. And so this is not going to be a kind of just an easy pushover league. Just kind of, it's going to be how it's been the past decade. We're just going to have to scramble and fight. And we know the two games on our schedule that we need to win to lock our place to Detroit. Northern Illinois, Western Michigan, and we just had to put our hard hats on and go to work.
Yeah, that is true. We'll see what happens. And then, actually, it was pretty cool that game was good because they were celebrating the 100 years of Rocket football. So that was something to see. David, you said you might come up here for homecoming?
Yeah, I'm going to try to be in the booth for at least for the show, and then go check out the homecoming game. I expect it to be a win, but we know how these things go.
Yeah, anything can happen. But that'd be pretty cool to have you back in the studio. David, once again, another great segment. I mean, this time you're going to be done, right? Because we still got to get Frank into the show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this one. This time I'm going to, you know, bow out.
Right. Then I'll actually be seeing David tomorrow as I'll be going out of town. That's why somewhat we kind of taped the show. I know Cool Kids Radio will definitely be taped, but it'll be good to see David the Man of God Harris down in his digs down in Columbus. And also, it may be good to see you come back in a couple of weeks for homecoming and probably be actually in the studio for the first time, what, in 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, last time I was quote-unquote in studio for the MAC championship when we were in Cleveland. But yeah, I haven't been into the Toledo studio, the home base. Ooh, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. You've been in the makeshift MAC tournament. Actually, last year, did you come? No, 2015 you came up. You didn't go for 2016, did you?
No, yeah, 2015 was the last one.
So two years ago that you were up here. So, David, thanks for calling in, and I'll see you a little bit later, man.
All right, that was it.
Yep, that was David the Man of God Harris here on 88.3 WXUTs. After further review, talking about some of the best moments in Rocket football for us personally. I'm sure some of you are older Rocket fans, you remember other things, but like I mentioned before, some of the personal things. I'm glad you guys listened to us. You can listen to us on our SoundCloud page, WXUT, After Further Review, as I mentioned before, and then just After Further Review on iTunes. And, you know, it's kind of good to go down memory lane once in a while. Anyway, when we return, more After Further Review here, especially with Frank Vashner coming up on AFR on 88.3 WXUT, Toledo's only alternative in your student radio station.